He went to pray and spend time with God. And it's such a great example, and that we ought to always take our time, you know, and spend time with him in prayer, reading his word. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Romans, chapter number one. Romans chapter number one. And with that, there is a story of a chicken and a pig who were walking down the street one day. They came to the grocery store, and the grocer had a sign in the window that said, "Bacon and eggs wanted." The grocer said, "Can you help me out? I need some bacon and eggs." The chicken said, "Well, let's go help him out. He needs some bacon. Pig, you can give him the bacon, and I can give him the eggs." The pig said, "You're crazy. All you have to contribute is eggs. I have to give the whole thing." And so when you think about that, that pig was right, giving everything. And in the same thing in the Christian life, we ought to give him our all. And so the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which Pastor touched on not too long ago, he said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I." The Bible says, "But Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Did you catch that? Live by. The Bible tells us that, hey, we need to live in Christ. And you know, those of you that follow basketball, I love basketball. I've been to the Heat game 2 times, and I want to, Lord willing, go a 3rd time in February. But when you've probably heard this saying, if you're familiar with it, if you live by the three, someone help me out.
You die by the three.
He's the only one that knows that in this show. We're the only basketball fan. If you live by the three, you die by the three. You might have heard something familiar where if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you live by the three, and you know what? Sometimes I remember we've gone out to Calusa, and there's this guy shooting threes, and he can make them. But man, when he's sometimes cold, guess what? It hurts us. Because if he missed and the other team gets a rebound and they drive all the way and they go straight to the basket, that's two. And as they go continue, you know what? It hurts us. But when we start making the threes, oh boy, if we are down, that can help us to get back in the game. And so if you live by the three, you die by the three. Well, Christians, I'm going to encourage you tonight that we need to get back in the game. We need to. And so tonight, I'm going to have 2 points that I just want to go through, and then Lord willing, we'll be done. And so hopefully I'll get you guys out before 9 o'clock. And so I got to keep an eye on that clock. I'll do my best to finish on time. And so if I ramble on, forgive me. But try to focus on God's word and remember what he said. And so let's pray, and then we'll begin to read one verse and probably 2 verses. But join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come to you in prayer and that we can talk to you. Father, I pray that you would help us today, those that may be watching the Facebook Live. Lord, that you would challenge us. Father, that we would give you our all, that we would live by the faith of the Son of God. And Lord, as you loved us and you gave us your all, you died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, he said that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that soul shall be saved. The free gift of salvation. And Father, if someone doesn't hear anything tonight, what I'm about to go through, Father, I pray that they would hear this, that Jesus loves you. And he died for you. And he says, all you have to do is call on me. Call me to save you from your sins. And you'll be saved. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Help us to focus. Holy Spirit, move within our midst. Rebuke Satan from tempting us. Father, that you would get him back, get him away, and that our hearts, the ground, that the seed will fall on good ground, Lord, that we would receive it and it would grow. Help us tonight. Lord, we need you. We can't do it on our own. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 1, as Paul begins, he says this, verse number 16, I'll start, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse number 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Most people don't come to church, and as they come in, they don't stand in front of the pew and wonder, hey, can this pew hold me up? Most people don't study the pew. They don't evaluate the pew or wonder about the pew strength. You know, all of you, when you came in, you just sat down. And what you did there was you exercised your faith. You know, faith is not based on feeling about the pew, but rather on the confidence, trusting that the pew will hold you up. And faith is acting like God is telling you the truth. Hear me, the Bible says in Romans chapter 17, it says, live by faith. Live by faith. Faith is the key. Don't you agree? It opens doors for us. It will open the door of your heart. Faith will open the door of the will of God. It will open so many doors for you that God has, and it takes faith. I like the acrostic that I learned a long time ago in college. I don't know who came up with it, but I love it. Forsaking all, and I trust Him. Trusting Him. Faith. The Bible talks about faith, and it is mentioned throughout. And we come to a point in Luke chapter 7, where you don't have to turn there, but about the centurion. As the centurion came to Jesus, he had a problem. His problem was that his servant was ill. And so he came to the Creator, and he asked the Creator, Lord, can you please heal my servant? But as he's going, you know, Jesus Christ said, hey, sure. And he starts to head that direction. He said, oh, wait, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come underneath my roof. And you know what he said? He said, just speak the word, and it'll be so. So Jesus Christ spoke the word, and right then and then, that his servant was healed. But before that, when Jesus Christ was, when the man told him, hey, just speak the word. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Jesus marveled. Jesus marveled. You know what caused him to marvel? Was the faith of the centurion. He said, if you just say the word, it'll be done. As if he heard the book of Genesis where it said, God spoke, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth with his words. He believed. And because of that man's faith, his servant was healed. But what's so amazing is that Jesus marveled and said, whoa, I've never seen such faith. No, not in Israel. Faith. It goes on where Jesus Christ teaches that, hey, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. Hey, what's your mountain that's in your way? And Christ says, hey, if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, a tiny little seed, he says that, hey, you can move mountains. Faith. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. I love that chapter. I love Hebrews 11 and 12. Honestly, I could preach to those books all day. You know, go through that. If I could, I would teach it to the teens all week, all year long. Because Hebrews 11, 12 is so great. It's so wonderful. Such great truth. In Hebrews 11, people call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. And Hebrews 11, it talks about how Abel gave a better offering. Why? Because by faith. It talks about how that Enoch walked with God by faith. It talks about by faith, Noah built an ark by faith. It talks about Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, and Samuel, and many more by faith did great things because they believed. They trusted God. Faith. But you know what the Bible says? In that same book, that same chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it talks about, hey, you can't succeed if you don't have faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible. Hear me? It is impossible to please God. If we can get that in our hearts and our mind, hey, if we don't have faith, we can't please Him. The Bible talks about that. If you don't have faith, you can't please Him. And you know what? You need to come and seek Him diligently and understand that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. That seek Him. Faith. God wants us to believe. You know, Jesus, as He was doing great things, you know, making the blind to see, healing the lepers, bringing back a young maiden from the dead. He's doing great things. And yet, in one town, He wasn't able. The Bible says that, as they phrase it, because of the lack of faith, He wasn't able to do mighty works in that town. And you can find that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. The town of Nazareth. The town of Nazareth missed out. The town of Nazareth didn't get that, whoa. Where you're like, whoa, that's God. You ever had that moment where you're like, whoa, that was God. God did that. And I remember when I was like, whoa, I'm going to pay for college. Well, Brother Chris mentioned his experience when he was in college. And he couldn't pay. I had the same similar. Every single time, I'm going to pay. Lord, please help me out. There was one time I didn't tell anyone, you know, my need. And all of a sudden, I got a grant that paid the rest of my bill. That was my last year. And I was like, whoa, that's God. Amen. Then if you see my children and you see my wife, you'd be like, whoa, that's God. How did He get that? He had that, whoa. And you know, I get that, whoa! I get to drive my favorite car. Whoa! Hey, God has given me a house. Whoa! Hey, He has healed me when I was hurt. Whoa! When you say that, hey, that is God! And it takes faith. Because if you don't have faith, guess what? You're not going to be receiving blessings from Him. God will take care of you. God loves everyone. Even though that person, He still loves them. But church, if you truly want to be blessed, believe His word. You know, sometimes we'll be hearing the preacher preach, and he continues preaching. But yet, does it really hit home? Or we're like, yeah, well, I heard this before. Believe God. No, do you believe? Like when you came in here, did you believe that you sat down and you trust that people to hold you up? Do you believe God? Do you believe He'll take care of you? Do you believe He'll heal you? Do you trust Him? Do you have faith? Because ladies and gentlemen, faith is the key. He'll open doors. Hey, trust God. Trust Him. Don't lack faith. You can have that moment. And so Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hey, congregation, what is revealed? What is revealed? The righteousness of God. I'm not going to ask you any hard questions. They're all in the Bible. They're all in the scripture. The righteousness of God is revealed. Hey, do you realize God is perfect? He is without sin. And though when you think something is a tragedy, he said, how can that happen? Don't forget that, hey, God is still perfect. God is still good. You know what? God doesn't plan for a tragedy to happen. It's man. Sin. You remember when God said, man, what? Whoa! I can't believe this! And what did God do? He said, hey, I got to flood this earth and get rid of these people. They are too wicked. They are destroying each other. They have no respect. And God had to bring a flood to judge the earth because of their sins. And yet he spared Noah because he saw that, hey, Noah believed in God. And so he spared Noah, his wife, and his children because they had faith. Faith. So the Bible tells us that, hey, God is righteous. And when you say, oh, how did this happen? Remember, he's always perfect. He does not sin. He can't sin. He is righteous. So what is revealed to us is God's righteousness. And the Bible continues on to say in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, how was it revealed? You didn't know you were coming to church to get a pop quiz, did you? How was it revealed? From faith to faith. See, it's all in there. I'm not lying to you. It's all in there. Verse 17. It was revealed from faith to faith. Hey, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the prophets to the apostles, from faith to faith, it's revealed to us. And the Bible continues on, saying that revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So how do the righteous live? By faith. Oh, you guys are getting good. I'll make sure everyone gets an A. By faith. By faith. When you say, oh, I don't know how I'm going to pay that next bill. Hey, have faith. When you say, hey, I don't know, two bills. Hey, can that person get healed? Have faith. When you say, hey, I don't know if I can get victory over this certain area in my life. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. If you trust him, hey, all things are possible with God. And you know, sometimes God, he will allow us to go through trials, through tough times. And you know why? To build you up. I can think of the times where I wanted to quit. I did it. I stayed the course. You know, and because of that, I've become better. I'm not perfect. You can ask my wife. Or if you're watching, honey, you know, you can tell the whole congregation. But I learned through the trials. Man, there's times that I'm learning in marriage. You know, it's rough. Man, you know, if you're married, you know. And for those of you that aren't married, hey, you're going to know when you get married. It's tough. Ladies, you're like, man, I can't wait. I'm still with this guy. It's good for nothing. You know, he doesn't take out the trash. You know, you guys probably take out the trash. Doesn't get up. Look at that sport game. He's all into that. You know, it's tough. But folks, you know, we need to have faith. We need to have faith that we can have victory. Hey, you can have victory. Hey, the different trials that come to your life, hey, that God is preparing you. He is molding you. And you know what? When you go through those frost patches, when you go through the fire, it's It's only so you can come forth as gold. And so have faith. Hey, when a person has faith and when they realize I'm a sinner and they come to the Savior, it is then that they can be saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And it's not in yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. His salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith. The Bible says, live by faith. Hey, congregation, will you live by faith? That's my point number one. Live by faith. My second point is this, is live by the word of God. If you can take your Bibles now, you can leave Romans. You won't be coming back. If you love to come back to Romans, hey, take the time to read it. Don't forget, it's still there. It's in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, let us know, and we'll get you one. In Matthew chapter number 4, the book of Matthew chapter number 4 is where we'll be right now. We may turn to one or two other places. In Matthew chapter 4, this is right when Jesus Christ is getting ready to be tempted. The Bible says, I'll read it, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, we'll read 1 to 4. It says this, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So the background we have here is that Jesus Christ is led by God, led by the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness. And we need to understand the circumstance that he has gone 40 days and 40 nights without food. About 960 hours. That's a long time. And while he's out there, the devil comes to tempt him. Wants him to fall. Comes out to devour him. And so he is out there in the wilderness. We have. And as he comes, notice that Christ says, hey, bread is not enough. The physical substance. He says that man should not live by bread alone. And so we need to take point of this. You know, Jesus Christ went 40 days. That's a long time. How many of you, raise your hand, have gone, you know, without being sick? Sick doesn't count. Because if it's sick, then everyone will win. How many of you have gone one day without eating? Raise your hand. You can put your hand down. How many of you have gone 2 days without eating? Three?
That's it.
Five? A little more hands. All right, what about four? Four is the maximum. Can you imagine going 40 days without food? 40 days. I'm like, man, I can't go 2 hours without eating. Let alone 2 days. I'm just kidding. I've gone a day without eating. But the thing is this, Christ has gone 40 days and Satan all of a sudden is coming. And this is the will of God that he is to be tempted. And as he comes, you know, Jesus is to be patient. He is the way. He knows God's will right now for Satan to come and try to trip them, for him to be tempted. And yet he didn't fall into temptation. And this is the proof that, hey, Jesus is the Messiah. It is... not only that, I remember when I was at Bible college, by the way, you know, Christ pointed out, you know, right there and then, it doesn't matter the environment that you're in. that you have the choice whether you will do right or whether you do wrong. Because he's in this environment, he's in the wilderness. Would you say it's not a place that's all peachy, that you're like, oh man, this is the best resort? You come in and you got the couches there, and then you got they massage you, and they bring you all kinds of delicious food. He was in the wilderness. One thing, most likely it was hot, and then it got cold at night. And you would have to sleep on the ground. And you would say, hey, I had to be very uncomfortable. And going that long without eating. And the tempter comes. And you know what the tempter does? He looks and he examines and he says, hey, he hasn't eaten for a long time. I bet you I can get him to eat. I bet you I can get him to fall. And you know what he does? He comes up and he says, hey, if thou be the Son of God. Satan, if you be the Son of God, Satan, you know who he is. Hey, you've seen him before you fell down. You know he's the Son of God. Yeah, he trying to come and he trying to pull. If thou be the Son of God, hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to make Jesus get all prideful. And he's trying to make him good out of the will of God. And he knows the weakness of Christ right now as being 40 days without eating. He's hungry. Boy, I tell you, I can survive 40 days without eating. Boy, and it's interesting to note that the very first temptation has to do with him sustaining away from food, abstaining from it. And at this point, if you remember, you know, it's not exactly the same, but Adam in the garden, he wasn't to eat of the fruit. He ate the fruit and he fell into sin. Here, Satan's coming and saying, hey, turn these stones into bread. And Christ is like, hey, it is written. You know what Christ does? He says, hey, Satan, you know, I'm going to fight you off with the word of God. He says, hey, Satan, it is written, it is quote in scripture, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 8, if you can find it, the fifth book of the Old Testament, we're going to go read where Christ says, it is written. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, and so this is the second giving of the law as Moses is going through. They've been going to the wilderness, and the people have basically murmured during the time and complained about going into the land of Canaan, but we're like, oh, we can't fight them. And God cursed them, and for 40 years, those people dropped, they died, but their children has grown up. And the Bible tells us that Moses has been given up the law, and he goes on and he says, in verse number 1, chapter 8, verse number 1, it says, all the commandments which I have commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee this 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. He says that as he goes, the children of Israel, they've been going through the generation for 40 years to humble them, to prove to them and about their hearts, so that they would see. And he goes and say, hey, he fed you when you were hungry, so that you would know, hey, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is important to have God's word when we say, I hope you would agree to that. In Matthew, I'll head back, we can turn back there. Jesus is being tempted, and he fights the devil with scripture. That's what we should do when we're tempted. He faces him with scripture. He takes the sword of the Spirit, as the book of Ephesians says, in chapter number 6. And he says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Hey, he knows that we need bread to survive, that we need to eat. But Christ says, but this is more important than bread here. It's God's word. Because without God's word, how can you live? How can you be fed spiritually? You know, physically, if you go without food, you know, you probably go out food one day, 2 days, 3 days, and one person raised 4 days. But that fifth day, you're like, man! Oh, take me to Golden Corral! Take me to Mickey D! Take me to somewhere! You're like, oh, I'm so hungry. And you're like, ah, I gotta eat! And you're starving. Hopefully you guys ain't dinner tonight. I haven't eaten yet. Maybe that's why I'm so passionate. And you're like, you gotta eat! I'm hungry! What we do, we'll do. I remember when, boy, my wife, when she was pregnant, and she's like, oh, I'm hungry! And it'd be around midnight, 1 o'clock. Well, you want me to go, honey? Because she's hungry. That baby's hungry. I get up and I drive and go get her food wherever she wants. I remember one time she had me go to some place, Tijuana Flats. First time ever meeting that. To get her some chips and some dip, because she was craving it. She was hungry. And she got, I got home, I drove away after morning looking for Tijuana Flats, got her meal, came back, she started eating, and then she's like, you know what? I don't like the sauce. And she said she was done with that food. Well, all right, well, it is what it is. So I ate it. Yo, when you're hungry, you're going to satisfy that need. And yet Jesus says, hey, don't forget your spiritual need. Your spiritual need. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. We need every word. Hey, from Genesis to Revelation. We need it all. And sometimes it may be difficult. Sometimes you may not understand. We have the Holy Spirit there. The Holy Spirit's there to teach us. God gave us pastors. Hey, those that will go and they'll expound. He gives us the word so that we can feast. So we can be spiritually fed. So we can learn how to grow. Man, you want to be strong, don't you? And that's what we teach the little kids. Hey, you got to eat your greens. They used to try to trick us. They would show Popeye the Sailor Man. He's on his spinach. They say he'd be strong to the finish. They try to brainwash us. Or younger. And you say, oh, spinach is cool! Come on, yeah, come on. And we tell the children, hey, you gotta eat your greens, you gotta eat. So they can grow. They can't live off Pepsi Cola. Mm. Brother Chris reminds me, we used to drink soda every night before you went to sleep in college. I think you got rid of that bad habit. But you can't live by macaroni and cheese. You gotta have pay. The broccoli, the lettuce, you know, your meat for those of you that love meat, fish for those that you love that love fish. And you gotta eat. So you can go strong. Even as we're older, if we don't eat right, hey, you're going to feel it. When your immune system starts to go down, you know what most people start to do when they start to feel sick? They then go, oh, go get me chicken noodle soup, or go get me some orange juice. And, you know, I was chugging some OJ the other day. Well, we're sick, and we want to take care of ourselves. But if you don't do that, if you're not eating spiritually, you're hurting. You're malnourished. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter, towards the end of the Bible. I said chapter number 1, I meant to say chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And the thing is this, God said his word is important. And he gives a really good illustration here. It hits very clearly hits home. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, in verse number 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Many of you have parented a child. That baby starts up, and it's crying, and you're like, whoa, that happened real quick, and you're like, oh, he's running, and you're like trying to get the milk ready, you know, trying to do your best. So when that baby's hungry, they're going to let you know. They don't care what time it is. It could be 2 a.m., it could be 4 a.m. They're like, feed me. You know what? You gotta feed them. They desire that milk so bad. They cry for it. They'll move their head. They'll kick them out. And they say, they want it. Christians, if we would be like that, desire to sincere milk of the word. Hey, what happens when you wake up at 2 a.m., 3 a.m.? You say, you know what? I can desire this, the milk of the word right now. Do you look to the word? There are too many of us, you know, we look to Facebook. We look to our TVs. You know, we look to our phones. You know, we look towards other things too much, and we forget about the word. And the thing is, have you read God's word today? Are you living by the word? Because man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is so important. If you are not reading, guess what that means? You are not eating spiritually. And if you're not eating spiritually, you're hurting. You're getting weak. It's going to be hard for you to do that which is right. It's going to be hard for you to love your neighbor. It's going to be hard for you to do that which is honoring the Lord. It's going to be hard for you to go to church. It's going to be hard for you to worship God because you're hurting. You're missing your meals. Some of us eat 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 5 times a day, 6 times a day, 7, you know, if you eat small portions. But you eat. And think about that. If we would take the time, as much as we eat, to read God's word, man, I'm full. Oh, man, God's word is so good. It's so good to taste. And you can go out and you can just share the love. Like, hey, you know, this is why I got God's word. Hey, you can go around passing the bread of life, giving the word of God a wonderful words. They're beautiful words. And they're words that will help people, that will comfort them. They're words that will give us assurance. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, do you live by faith, and you live by the word of God. When a plane takes off, it needs a control tower. The control tower can see what the pilot cannot see. The pilots have a limited vantage point. They can't see underneath or above them. The pilot, even with all of their instruments, cannot see all the weather conditions that will affect their flight plan. The folks in the control tower can provide the pilot information that they wouldn't have because of their limited vantage point. The Word of God is the control tower for the Christian. Where we have our only limited vantage point, God's Word can communicate to us what is going on in the spiritual realm and that we can't see. Hey, that's God's Word. It is, as the Bible says, a lamp unto our feet. Hey, are you bringing your lamp out? Are you bringing your light, as it says? You remember that song, "This Little Light of Mine"? God's Word is a light. Hey, you remember a little children's song? You know, read your Bible, pray every day. Or you might hear a little 5-year-old, 7-year-old singing it. It has such great truth. And obviously the person that made the song is trying to help that young child read their Bible and pray every day. But adults, it'd be good for us to take that to heart. I don't know your lives. I don't know if you read the Word of God, but what I want to encourage you is, hey, take the time. If you haven't done it today at all, when you get home, park, you know, in your car, maybe take 5 minutes. You'll spend time with Him. Have your quiet time with the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we pray that may you be with us and help us. Lord, we ought to live by faith, trusting you. As your word says, that faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So Lord, help us to hear your word. The only way we can hear it is by taking the Bible and opening it up and reading it and letting you speak to us, speak to our hearts. Father, there may be someone in here that they haven't had faith like they're supposed to. Their faith is small. But Lord, tonight, may they make the commitment and say, Lord, increase my faith. There may be someone in here that hasn't been reading the Bible. They've missed 1, 2, 3, maybe a month. But Lord, may they make the commitment and say, Lord, I'm going to start to read your Bible every day. Lord, help us